Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Brewers.com writer Adam McKelvey joins us each and every week around this time. Adam, in Petco Park, or I should say perched above Petco Park. It looks like the picture you sent me, it looks like you scaled a building like the size of the Sears Tower, and you're looking into the stadium.
Ooh. Well, this is probably the best road hotel for us Marriott acolytes because it looks right down over left field. And you can see that the grounds crew is out there working on the field at 8:15 in the morning for a 6:40 game. So if you get... You know, if you want to know how hard those guys work, this is a great hotel to come watch them do their thing.
Oh, I love that. Hey, can you take us behind the scenes at the Brewers' latest clinch party? Because we haven't talked to you since then. And a lot of people, thanks to social media, got to see quite a bit, including that wild slip and slide. I was saying yesterday I was nervous some of the players were going to get hurt on that. I know we don't need any more injuries. But is it true that Matt Arnold got hurt, not from the slip and slide, but some other randomness?
Very randomness. Yes, Sal, they had some cigars, as they have in recent years, in the post-game celebration, and Sal Frelick went in to give his GM a hug, and he burned Matt Arnold's neck.
Oh, geez.
Pretty good, I have to say. It was Matt's day after assessment yesterday was not great. So he is getting some help from the medical staff and treating that the right way, but he's got a pretty nasty burn on his neck. But as he said, no pain, no gain, because they really, that is a team effort to get to that point. I mean, it's kind of cliche, but it does take a lot of people. And people who have been to the stadium this year have watched that construction project going on above right field. That's all office space for a front office that is just bursting at the seams because of the number of people that are involved in today's game. So it was Matt and a lot of the front office guys had come down to St. Louis in the event they clinched, and it was kind of special for all of them to be involved in it, too. The other thing that I loved, kind of the behind the scenes, was how, you know, it's a player's thing. You see it on TV. It's all the players. The manager's in there, gives a speech, and then kind of gets out of the way. But some of the players pulled the coaches in and gave them these ice bucket, the old ice bucket bath, and one of them was Nestor Corridor, who – of course, was a coach and manager in the Brewers minor league system, and had Bryce Terang his first year. And he said it gave him chills, not because of the cold water, that Bryce Terang kind of singled him out in the celebration and recognized, you know, kind of where his career began. And so it was little things like that that happened that you don't necessarily get to see when you're watching all the madness on TV. And, you know, again, kudos to Sophia Minert, who just, I don't know how she handles that, but she somehow gets all the guys where they're supposed to be, gets them on, is able to hear them, keeps champagne out of her eyes. It's all very impressive. So there are a lot of moving pieces there, and it was a lot of fun again.
My biggest takeaway from the post-game celebration is that Sal Frelick would probably be voted most fun at a wedding.
I don't know. Did TV get Aaron Ashby, shirtless Aaron Ashby, dancing in the middle of the room, or was the broadcast might have been over by then, but Ashby looked like he'd be pretty fun at a wedding himself.
Yeah, Brewers After Dark. That's the name of the highlight video from the celebration. No, those are a lot of fun. And I always felt like it was a spot I shouldn't be as a member of the media, Adam. I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but I've been in the clubhouse for a number of those celebrations, and I've never taken it for granted. I've never felt like I belonged in those situations, but because it is such a team thing, but it is a wild celebration. It really is truly a let-loose opportunity. And it always amazes me that the stink is out of the clubhouse the day after, and then they just go back to work.
Well, that's a hard job. And, you know, kudos to the Cardinals visiting clubhouse staff because, you know, they were left to clean up after that. And some people ask me, do, like, teams send a bill for replacing the carpet or at least cleaning the carpet? And the answer I got was no, that teams just kind of take care of that on their own. And sort of over the years, what goes around comes around, where you get a chance to celebrate in someone else's clubhouse at some point, and then they clean up. So we've been in there in Milwaukee where they've had a clinch, and then the next day you walk in and there's all these blowers going to try to dry out the carpet, and oftentimes they're able to clean that and salvage it. But I'll tell you what, I posted this picture after as it was winding down in St. Louis, and I mean, it was Lake St. Louis. So I don't know if they're going to be able to salvage much of that. The good news was that was the Cardinals' final home game. So the Cardinals didn't have to worry about welcoming in another team. It was just, you know, good night for 2025. And they were able to, whether they replace the carpet or just clean it, they had plenty of time to do that.
Adam, what's the deal with the jungle? Because all of a sudden we see on social media the shot, you've got the rookies on the charter flight to San Diego, and, you know, one guy is dressed up like a giraffe, another one's a monkey, a lion. What is this about?
Well, if you were in the gas lamp here in San Diego on Sunday night, Brewers fan, I wonder if anybody, you know, were visited by some zoo animals, because the Brewers had their annual rookie dress up, which is a long baseball tradition, and it used to be oftentimes a little NC-17 or whatever. That's not right.
Oh, I was like, was it? I don't know. We didn't see those pictures on social media.
There used to be a lot more, I don't know. It used to be a little on kind of a different level. It's become more fun, I think. And this year, Christian Yelich always talks about how playing in Major League Baseball is like being in the jungle. So they decided that the rookies would all dress up as zoo animals. So, you know, you had, of course, Jacob Mizorowski as the giraffe was the easiest choice ever. But it was, you know, Robert Gasser as a lemur. It was, I think, Isaac Collins was an elephant. And they all had these costumes that Bryce Terang and a couple of the guys found on Amazon. And then Terang and Sal Frelick were the zookeepers.
That's
and,
great.
You know, Terang was under no obligation to dress up. After you're a rookie, you're under no obligation. But he said when he dressed up a couple of years ago, it was as an a cappella group.
Oh,
I'm not sure if I remember that one. But he dressed up, and he remembers William Contreras and maybe Willie Adames being part of that as, you know, quote-unquote older guys. So he thought it was right that a couple of the more established players got in on it too. And then the tradition often is you're going to another road city, and those guys are, of course, not taken directly to the team hotel. They're dropped off in the middle of the city in their costumes. So, like I said, if you were in the gas lamp here in San Diego on Sunday night having a drink, you might have looked out the window of the bar and seen, you know, giraffe Jacob Mizorowski walking down the street.
That's just
they,
fun.
They cover the last couple of blocks on foot. So yeah, a good tradition that brings everybody together.
At that time, do you close out your tab and just, you know, head home, or do you ask the bartender what exactly was
hey,
in your cocktail?
Maybe they come in and join you. I mean, maybe you buy the guys a drink. I don't know how that all went down, but, you know, it's, I guess you could take them the rest of the way, make sure they get to the hotel.
So the Brewers have a chance now to sort of set things up going into the postseason. They know when games one and games two of the NLDS will be. They'll be in Milwaukee. Don't know the opponent yet. That'll be sorted out here over the next several days. But how do they set up their pitching now, Adam? A real X's and O's kind of question here, but the loss of Brandon Woodruff, I don't know how much it's being discussed internally, but to me, this is a major blow to the Brewers' opportunity to win a World Series.
Two major blows, and Brandon Woodruff and Trevor McGill, who's pitching and trying to get back, but there's no guarantees, and there's no guarantee of what he'll look like jumping right back into, you know, the ninth inning of a game one of a playoff series is as pressure packed as it gets. And to throw a guy right back in there after he's missed a number of weeks is an underrated injury as well that needs to be considered. But the starting pitching, it makes Freddie Peralta so important to what they do. And that's what I wrote last night off of his, what was a really good ball game last night. But I think Freddie Peralta's first five innings, they were on a controlled pitch count. They're kind of tapering him at the end of the year to make sure he's totally fresh and ready for the postseason. He is vitally important. And yes, Freddie's pitch counts get inflated. Yes, it can be frustrating, I know, for the fans at times. But just look at the numbers and look at the number of times he's given them innings, gotten them out into the game when they're in the game. That is a really valuable thing to have, and especially now when there's so many questions around him. So he's game one, absolutely no doubt about it, and vitally important to what they do. You've got Quinn Priester, who's been pitching great. They win every time he pitches so lately, so that's a good thing. And then some question marks. I mean, does Jose Quintana sneak in and make a start in game three of a division series? He's got to get healthy, too. He's got the calf, and he was running around in the outfield in St. Louis the other day, and it was like, it looked okay, and there's some time to get him right, but that's a big question. And then the other big question is, where do you put Jacob Mizorowski in this mix? Pat Murphy said they're not going to hand him the ball for game three. So you can kind of cross that one off. They've got to try to figure something out with him, because he could be such a weapon if he throws strikes and is effective in the postseason, but he's just not been effective. He's not thrown enough strikes. He's not getting any ground balls. I think there's a huge question mark about how he fits in the whole thing. So lots of pitching questions. I would just say one thing about that. Every team is dealing with that right now. You know, the Phillies are without Zach Wheeler. That's a massive loss. Every club's pitching is kind of held together by duct tape right now because it's been a long season. So it's not uncommon to go in the postseason this way. It just doesn't feel very good when you're trying to piece things together and the biggest games are on the horizon.
Milwaukee Brewers playoff tickets for the NLDS go on sale today. You've seen the crowds out there. We've had so many sellouts. Are you thinking it's no-brainer these are going to be sellouts?
Yeah, no-brainer, I think. And especially that they've earned the bye. They have lots of time to warm up to get to a best-of-five series. You know, Mark Atanasio said, we have to win a series. I mean, that kind of goes without saying, but he said it. And everyone is well aware that they've had a lot of heartbreak in the first round recently. And you can point to all the little twists and turns and the randomness of the postseason and how one bad bounce, I'm thinking 2019 in Washington, changes everything. And the postseason is extremely dicey that way. You're not guaranteed anything. The best team does not always win. I think people know that. So there's a lot of really exciting unknowns ahead for everybody as they move forward. But I think the fans will fill the place.
Five games left in the regular season. They wind up with a couple here in San Diego, then home to round out the regular season against the Reds, and they stay home here for the beginning of the postseason. Adam McKelvey, enjoy your long commute to Petco Park for tonight's game, and we'll check in again next week.
I'm going to rappel.
You actually could. That's not a bad idea. I'm surprised they don't have that in San Diego. That seems very California.
A zip line. I can actually see my seat in the press box. So if I zip line in there, that's a good thought. I'm going to see if I can set that up here in the next couple of hours.
You know what would be even better is if you could go onto Amazon and get yourself something from the jungle, put that on, and then zip line on in.
Yeah, that lemur costume.
I don't know. The lemur is my favorite zoo animal. That's a little known fact about myself. So Gasser's already got that. I'll have to see if I can barter with him.
What are you going for, Greg? What would you go for?
Peacock. I enjoy the peacock.
No, that's what I would have gone for. I love the colors.
Fair enough.
Really?
Yeah, well, yes.
Peacock?
You surprised by that?
Well, I got to do something different, though.
All right. We'll think of something during the break. Adam, appreciate it, man. Thanks again.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah.
1250 on WTMJ. We'll pick the proper
of
zoo animal.
Of all the animals?
You didn't think I would
go
peacock?
For the peacock?
No. Oh, the peacock is a wonderful, wonderful bird.
I love it. I just, the jewel tones. The jewel tones of the peacock and how all of a sudden it's like,
it's exactly what I was thinking.
Look at my feathers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
I like to use the phrase full peacock when I'm excited.